Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always awesome to be here.
It is.
And last week we talked about John the Baptist, who's one of my favorite characters.
You know what I like the best about him?
His diet.
No. You brood of vipers.
Oh, that's the best.
You know, when
that's
you go up to a water cooler and just say, hey, yeah, you brood of vipers.
Yeah.
Everybody says, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. And, you know, people nowadays, you know, it's hard for us to understand what that really meant, what he was really doing.
Yeah.
I mean, in our time, that would be like, you know, going to the Vatican and seeing a bunch of cardinals and saying, you brood of vipers. It would have been the sort of the same level. I mean,
yeah.
You would be like,
yeah,
sticking your neck out. In the Middle Ages, they would have probably beheaded you for that. But these were like the leaders who went out to see what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he called them broods of vipers. And, you know, like we mentioned last week, he starts preaching in a wilderness with this startling loud voice. The Greek means he had a startling loud voice. And the fact that the leaders went out there and they would have seen him baptizing. See, now we know, we think of baptism in terms of Christian baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's familiar with baptism. Because as far as I know, I don't know, I'm probably wrong, but I would hope every Christian baptizes people. I don't know if there's any denominations that don't baptize, but I mean, clearly the Bible indicates that
they can't be Christians if they don't.
Yeah. I mean, clearly the Bible indicates that you have to be baptized.
Right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. The formula is there too.
Yeah.
But, you can't make up your own formula.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm sure there's some people who have made up their own formulas. You can't really say anything definite anymore because there's such a wide variety of stuff. But, they knew about water in terms of the mikvah bath.
Mm-hmm.
This is John's baptism. And Jesus talks about John had the baptism of repentance. Because it says people were, in Matthew 3, it says people were confessing their sins and he was baptizing them.
Right.
And this is another reason to learn about your Hebrew roots of your faith. Because they were familiar with the mikvah where you got into water and it cleansed you of your impurities. And any time that you were going to do a function in the temple or the status of your life had changed and you were going into a new phase of your life, or a woman, every time she was done with her cycle, had to go in a mikvah bath.
Mm-hmm.
A man, even if you had a sore on your arm that had drained some pus, you had to go through the mikvah bath before you could go back to the temple. Because this was a sign of clearing out sin and ugly dead things. And so John is kind of building on that, but in a little different way, because he's saying, you know what? You guys are all sinners and I'm pouring water on you. So this is kind of a transition between the mikvah and Christian baptism.
Right.
And as I pointed out last week, John the Baptist is this transition figure between Old Covenant, New Covenant, between the Tanakh and the New Testament. And even the water baptism is an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when these Pharisees, when these leaders would go out and see what he was doing, they wouldn't have been surprised he was putting people in water. Because
mm-hmm.
this is what they were, you know, they were kind of used to this.
Right.
Now, what they weren't used to is that this guy looked like a weirdo. I mean, this guy had wild, crazy hair. And, you know, it tells us there that he had this camel hair, whatever. God, I forgot what it called, what they call it. A garment of camel hair, a leather belt around his waist.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate this weird food. And these religious leaders would have gone out there dressed really nicely with all their cool stuff on. And they probably would have eaten better than wild locusts and honey, but I can't get past that. But
I'm seeing that.
they would have looked at this guy, and they also would have understood that he was important, or else they wouldn't have gone out there. They actually went to see what was going on,
yeah,
because he had a following.
Now, when they had the mikveh and all the, you know, the other types of cleansing, mm-hmm. did they repent? Was there a repentance of sin with those?
No.
Okay. So they're seeing that there is a repentance of sin going on.
Yes.
The Pharisees and Sadducees are seeing that these people are confessing their sins, and they're being baptized.
Yes.
So this was something different.
This was different. This is not quite mikvah, and it's not quite Christian baptism.
Mm-hmm.
It's something in between. And the other thing they would have realized about John the Baptist is, if you read in the book of Numbers, which is happens to be one of my favorite books, it's probably fifth or sixth, there's a description of these men that are called Nazarites,
mm-hmm.
who are sort of like what we would know as, you know, mystic monks. You know, they're out in the wilderness preaching and praying and reading scripture, but they're not allowed to cut their hair. They're not allowed to eat anything that comes from a grape. Nothing that's fermented or could possibly be fermented. And they don't cut their hair or shave their beard.
Wow.
And John the Baptist was basically a Nazarite as well.
Okay.
And so they would have recognized some of the stuff that they were used to.
Right.
But what they weren't used to was the message of the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
They weren't quite sure what to make of that.
Yeah. So in this loud voice, and you know, what's amazing is that how God equips each person for their mission in life.
Mm-hmm.
He gave John this voice that he could proclaim the message of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
You know, that was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people responded to that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a form of hineni.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here I am. Ready to go.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. It was quite a response. And if it truly was a loud voice that penetrated and woke people up. I mean, people need to be awakened from their usual life, and especially their usual sinful life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, we have to talk about modern times because we really need a new evangelization. There's a lot of people talk about new evangelizations. And one of the things that new evangelization has to hit on is that people have to be convinced that they're sinners.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, that's not a popular thing to talk about. No matter what you do, you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that would talk like John the Baptist talked today.
They'd throw him out of the church.
they really would. They would throw him out of the church. Every denomination would throw him out of the church. So I think it says a lot as to the state of where the church is at in relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because John spoke in all truth,
mm-hmm.
in all honesty. And he wasn't interested in if somebody's feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
What he was preparing was their soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was coming. And what Christ wants is a bride prepared for him.
Yes.
It's not about, oh, you know, you might want to think about this because we don't want anything to happen to your psyche.
Yeah, we don't want you to feel bad at all.
We don't want you to have, you know, like a meltdown or anything, but you may want to consider that you might have maybe done something that wasn't good, you know, good in God's eyes. And even that would throw somebody over the edge.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean? How dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, but this is the reality of John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you say a message like that today, people will go, what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, repent? I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm. I've never killed anybody.
Yeah. I used to use that justification all the time before I came to know the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not nearly as bad as that guy.
I'm not bad as that guy. I haven't killed anybody.
Yeah. So, you know, here's this, and as we mentioned last week from Malachi chapter 3 about the messenger's going to come before the Lord and prepare mm-hmm. his way, you know, he would be a herald. His name isn't Harold, but he would be a herald, H-E-R.
Now, wait a minute.
Let's not get confused about names.
Was that his Hebrew name?
Yeah. No. So, like, if a king was coming and he sent a herald before to announce the king's coming, so let's get everything ready.
Right.
You know, these guys were all dressed really nice and they were blowing trumpets and they were, you know, the king's coming. And then the king would have this, you know, retinue of servants and soldiers and white horses and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the king would roll into town. But here's this guy with this camel hair, whatever it was, robe and a belt.
Vest.
Looking like some wild, crazy dude. When people walk by him and go, what a weirdo. But not everybody said what a weirdo, because a lot of people were listening to what he was saying. And this is why the Pharisees went out there. And, you know, getting back to what we were just saying a minute ago about our times today, is we really not only need to tell people about sin and repentance, mm-hmm. but we need a loud, startling voice.
Yes,
because
we do.
People are asleep.
Yep.
I used to talk to people in my office and say, well, you know, because you're a sinner, and they would say, you don't even know me. And I'd say, well, I don't have to know you to know that you're a sinner. And some people would get, like, visibly upset because nobody's ever told them anything like that.
Yeah.
Or else they would laugh and go, oh, yeah, wait a minute. You don't even – I'd never do anything bad because everything is allowable. So here's this weird-looking dude, and he's – generally, people who come before kings, there's nothing humble about it. But this is a different kind of king. This is a king that wants repentance, wants following, wants people to serve, wants people to spread his word and his kingdom. This is not the king that would have come into town like Herod at this time. And everybody would have just bowed down and said, wow, what a cool horse. Wow, look at the cool soldiers. Wow, look at all that cool stuff. This is very simple and humble. And the Pharisees who are questioning him, they are not humble and quiet. They're dressed very nicely and they're proud. And they're pretty smug in the sense of, we don't need to repent. What mm-hmm. are you talking about? We're Pharisees, and you're one crazy-looking dude, and we're the holy guys, so why are you telling us to repent? And after all, we're children of Abraham. So this flies in the face of what this coming kingdom actually is, that he's trying to point out that not only is repentance necessary, but you have to produce fruit to show that your repentance was real.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, with metanoia, if you say, oh yeah, Jesus, nice, I like him, I love him, he loves me, and there's no change in your life from what it was before,
right.
John says, can't have that.
Exactly.
Can't have that.
Yeah, if there's no evidence of repentance, or no evidence of your, you know, a change of heart, or how you behave, or how you act, you're not going to, the fruit that you've been bearing is going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a call to conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a call to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
But we can't rely on, you know, we can't rely on someone else. We can't rely on a family member. We can't mm-hmm. rely on, because, gosh, my uncle, you know, he was a really great guy. He was a dignitary, and he did all this stuff in the world, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't rely on that.
Uh-huh.
And that's what John the Baptist is telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, is that you can't just say that you're children of Abraham. You know, because God can raise up stones that'll be better than you.
They'll be better children of Abraham than you guys.
Yeah. So that's you know, it's like, okay. He's going to raise up a rock and make them a children. They're going to be more obedient than we are.
Yeah.
You know, and he tells them, even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Mm-hmm. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine saying that to the religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your fruit?
Yeah.
What do you mean fruit? We're in Jerusalem doing the stuff. You know, what are you doing out here looking like a weirdo? We're doing the stuff.
Yeah. Basically, he's telling them the axe lies at your feet.
Yes,
and
exactly.
If you don't produce good food, fruit, you're going to be thrown into the fire.
Yeah. And you know, if you project if you think back to when little 40-day-old Jesus is presented in the temple, and Simeon says this child is going to be responsible for the rise and the fall of many in Israel.
Yeah.
Boy, these Pharisees had no idea that in a few more years they'd be out of a job.
Yeah.
There would be no more temple. There'd be no more anything. And the fact that John, and he was a Levite, so I don't know if they knew that, but the fact that John was not afraid to confront them is kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
Because he is so filled with the Holy Spirit that doesn't hesitate at all to confront them.
Well, you know what's interesting as you say that is because John was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth.
Exactly.
When Mary came to greet Elizabeth because Jesus was already in her womb.
Yes. Yes. And little pre-born John becomes charismatic while he's in the womb.
Yeah, exactly.
Elizabeth says he's jumping around. He had his hands up and he was singing. And you know, that's a fascinating passage because he responds to Jesus being there.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit. Mary's filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah can't say anything.
No.
You know, John's filled with the Spirit and talks to these guys who are used to be called by titles.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to saying, oh, sit right here. Oh, you know, can you say a prayer for us? Yes. You know, if you give me 20 shekels, I could say a prayer that lasts 15 minutes. I mean, these guys were, like Jesus said, you guys tithe everything you have, but you don't understand what you're doing. So he has the infilling of the Spirit and calls them vipers. Now, a viper's a poisonous snake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, I mean, to me, all snakes are disgusting. But a viper is a poisonous snake.
Mm-hmm.
And later we're going to see that all these guys do is try to build a case that Jesus can not only be not the Messiah, he can't even be a prophet because of where he's from. He's not educated. We didn't give him any authority to do this. And so they're poisonous snakes because they keep people out of the kingdom. And, you know, Jesus goes a little bit further and calls them children of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're sons of Abraham? Well, if you were children of Abraham, you wouldn't be acting like this. But actually, you're doing what your father is, and your father's the devil.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that you don't generally say to Pharisees.
They didn't like that either.
Woo, they didn't like that
at
all. So John calls them poisonous snakes. You know, in Matthew 23, Jesus says, not only do you not get into the kingdom, but you keep others from getting into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And
you're heaping burdens upon them and you're not even lifting a finger to help them.
Yes. And John the Baptist basically points out, if you really were repentant, it would show.
Yeah.
You would be bringing forth fruit. There would be evidence that you had changed, but there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole system's going to be cut down. And that's, you know, like from Simeon, you know, he's going to be responsible for the fall of many in Israel.
Right.
I mean, these guys were only going to be in power, you know, basically a few more years and they were going to be done.
Exactly.
And it's also interesting, too, that, like, Jesus had more common people than wealthy, important people following him. He did have those, too. But it's interesting that people were going out to see John.
Yeah.
Like you said last week, there was an anticipation mm-hmm. that something was about to happen.
Yeah. And they're preparing their hearts. They're preparing their home for the coming of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the church does during the time of Advent. It's a time of preparation.
Yeah.
It's a time to put your house in order. It's a time to reflect and repent. And, because you're remembering that the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is, you know, mm-hmm. when Jesus comes, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
I think the church rightly has seasons because it's not because God needs it. It's because we need it. Because without it, we go off on our merry way and do something else and we'll never return to it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And we think that we're fixed.
Yeah.
But as human beings, we do need repetition because it helps us to remember.
Oh, yes.
What has taken place?
Yes.
Because if you forget history, mm-hmm. it's bound to repeat itself.
Yes.
And if you forget what the Messiah has done for you, if you forget what Jesus has done for you, you're bound to fall back into sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't take very long.
It takes no time at all.
Nope.
And, you know, it says, I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, when you say you're not going to fall, that's when you're going to fall.
Exactly.
So you always have to be on guard. And when he said, you know, when they pointed out they were children of Abraham, you know, not some, you know, unclean Gentile or some, you know, disgusting Samaritan or something, were children of Abraham. Little did they know that within a very short time, all these unclean Gentiles around them were going to be coming to the Messiah
mm-hmm.
and were going to be included in the kingdom while they were not going to be included in the kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, not every single one. We don't know. But in general, so it's really interesting that John the Baptist is this character that, you know, he's kind of a lightning rod for all this. And then he humbles himself. You know, they send people out and say, well, are you the Christ? Are you a prophet? I mean, who are you? You know, we could even get into the reed swing and the wind and stuff. But he always humbles himself in comparison to Jesus. He says, you know, I can't even carry his sandals. I can't even untie his sandals. I'm just baptizing you with water. He's going to come with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yeah.
So I'm just the herald. My name's not Harold, but I'm just the herald to tell you that Messiah is here now. And I am nothing like him. He is nothing like me. He's got, you know, the winnowing fan in his hand. He's here. You either repent or you're going to be judged, where I'm just baptizing you with water and telling you to repent.
Yeah. 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 And he says the one who's coming after him will, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't read this before, but his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Mm.
Anything that's not useful is put into the fire and burned. It's consumed.
Yes.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, you know, this is an image of Jesus gathering the wheat into his barn. I'm going to separate the wheat from the weeds. The weeds are useless,
mm-hmm.
but the wheat has value.
Yes.
Because the wheat is going to be used to produce more, you know, produce food. To produce grain and to have another crop.
And even in the Gospels, if a tree's not producing fruit, I'm going to cut it down.
Yeah.
That's the music already.
It is.
Wow, we did two John the Baptist shows. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray as we enter this this last week before the season of Advent that you would begin to prepare your heart and prepare your home for the coming of Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.